Case number 21-1488, Kola Hasanaj versus Detroit Public School Community District et al. Ms. Driver, you may proceed for the appellant.
Ms. Driver, you're muted.
Thank you, sorry.
Good morning.
I would like to use 10 minutes initially and say 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Great.
This case is a case of first impression. It's a case in which, for the first time, an employee of a Michigan public school district is terminated based on the new evaluation system, section 1249 of the Michigan laws, that was instituted in 2011. And this new evaluation system was incorporated into the tenure laws as well. It really upturned the meaning of what tenure was and what a teacher's job security would be based on. Prior to the 2011 laws, there's a real distinction between tenured and non-tenured teachers. Tenure was a kind of seniority system, and if you pass 4 or 5 years and you had a reasonable performance record, then you became tenured, and you had job protections that adhered with that, including the right to not be laid off before somebody who was non-tenured, the right to maintain your teaching position unless there could be real just cause shown to deprive you of continuing to teach. But that all changed in 2011, because in 2011, what mattered and what became the primary determinant of whether a teacher was going to be allowed to work was the performance evaluations they got on a year-by-year basis. And tenured teachers...
Counsel, one of the reasons, though, that that law was passed is that the determination was made that the quality of teaching was poor, very poor, and that the kids weren't getting the education they were entitled to, and it was an attempt to upgrade what they were receiving in the classroom.
And I agree with that. I think that that's exactly right in terms of a characterization of the law. But the law wasn't a law that was supposed to be used to terminate teachers who had been longtime employees if they weren't able to reach a certain standard.
Okay,
it
but,
was a law
but
that
counsel, if,
that
counsel, if that's the case...
of the.
Ms. Driver, Judge Donald has a question.
If what you just said is true, wouldn't that basically upend the law? If the law is to be able to improve the quality of teaching, but you can't remove the poor performers and bring in new teachers who are better able to teach the kids, what purpose does that serve? And then the next thing I want to ask you is, was Mr. Hasanaj treated as tenured, or was he actually tenured?
He was treated as tenured, and both Mr. Hasanaj and the district believed he was tenured until after he was terminated 2 years later. Initially, the district stipulated to the fact that Mr. Hasanaj was tenured, and then that changed 2 years later when the Michigan Tenure Commission laid out the ground rules for what would qualify as tenure and made the determination that he was not tenured. So he was treated as tenured, he was believed to be tenured, he had the expectation that the benefits that would apply to a tenured teacher would apply to him.
Okay.
But in this regard, it didn't really matter that much because, yeah, the teacher evaluation law was to get rid of teachers who were not qualified. But also to improve teachers who were especially teaching in core subjects where there were shortages. And Mr. Asenage was an English teacher and a bilingual teacher, which meant that he was certified to teach students where there were chronic shortages in the Detroit public schools. And so if the first year he was evaluated, there was a determination made that he needed to improve in certain areas, 1249 mandated that the school district provide him with the tools and with the personnel, with the mentorship that was necessary.
So did Mr. Asenage make any effort to invoke that part of the statute? Did he ask for mentorship training since he was teaching outside of his certification?
I think there are two separate questions. And the first to the answer to the first question of did he invoke that? Yes. And he was provided with some mentorship in the first job that he had when he was being asked to teach outside of his area of certification, and by a vice principal named Jewel Dillard. And she really thought he could improve. She gave him an evaluation in the fall, in October, as being minimally effective, not ineffective, because she thought that based on his interaction with the students, with his abilities as a teacher, that he would be able to improve if he was given enough time to do so. Mr. Asenage went out on a FEMA leave after that, and at the end of the year, the principal gave him an ineffective evaluation, overturning the one legitimate, genuine evaluation he had gotten, which was not ineffective, but was minimally effective. And it makes a real difference, Judge, because under the law, you could be terminated for 3 ineffective evaluations, but not for a minimally effective evaluation and 2 ineffective ones.
If you're tenured, could you be terminated for 3 ineffective ratings?
Yes, you could.
Okay.
Yeah, so it applied both to tenured and non-tenured teachers. And Mr.
I think Judge Guy was going to ask a question.
I'm sorry.
Taking this to the, skipping ahead a little bit to the tenure commission and whatnot, it seems to me that the core that runs through this is that, at least in the eyes of the tenure commission, Michigan now defines statutorily what you have to do to get tenure. And rather than the plaintiff here really alleging that he met those qualifications, his claim to tenure is really based on all the things the school didn't do. They assigned him to things that weren't in his area, which means he couldn't get credit for those times. They may or may not have followed the procedures, but the tenure commission just sort of said it's kind of cut and dry, when they made that jurisdictional ruling. And then I have another question relative to that. There is, of course, an appeal from the tenures commission ruling, and I know there was some state court litigation. Was that decision taken to state circuit court, Wayne Circuit Court?
No, it was not, Judge. And it was primarily because the decision of the tenure was a commission was based on a very technical compilation of what exact month could be used to determine whether or not he had tenure. He had been a certified teacher since 2005. And so the breakdown of what during that period of time between 2005 and 2016 might constitute time that would go towards his tenure status. That was really the basis of the decision. And, I think that from Mr. Asenage's standpoint, what was violated, given his expectation that he was going to have a job, that he was a tenured teacher, and that he would be afforded the rights of a tenured teacher, and so would have been A, assigned to teach in areas in which he was certified, and B, if there was a problem with his teaching, would be able to receive advice and help to improve that. I mean, he had been with the district 16, 18 years when he was terminated. That's a long commitment of time for anyone. And I don't think there's a case remotely like this that exists. In Mr. Hasanoff's case, he was deprived of his due process rights. He was never given any kind of...
Counsel, I see your time is up, and we'll give you your full rebuttal.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll hear from the appellees.
Good morning. May it please the court, Phyllis Hertz Hill, appearing on behalf of Detroit Public Schools Community District, Lori Washington, Cassandra Washington, Cindy Lane, and Brenda Carruthers. Your Honors, I would like to rely on my brief and the lower court's learned decision in support of this appeal being denied. But that being said, it's clear that the gravamen of Hasanoff's complaint is that he believed the district failed to properly evaluate him or about to administer the evaluation process as stated in the state law. He believed that his dismissal based on those three ineffective teacher evaluations was improper because he wasn't evaluated improper, and that his dismissal pretty much rendered his teaching certificate valueless. Now, while he argues that these acts amount to a deprivation of the state and federal constitutional rights to due process, the lower court found that they did not.
Counsel, let me ask you a question, please. Sure. What would be the equitable remedy for someone like Mr. Hasanoff, who received three consecutive ratings of ineffective, but was assigned outside of his area of certification?
Okay. The remedy would be for him to go to state court under NCL 380-1248. And that goes back to the Summer v. Southfield Board of Education case, which is 310 Mish App at 660. And in that case, the court held that if a teacher has been harmed by the teacher evaluation process, basically, if a school doesn't follow the evaluation process and it causes you to be laid off or there's a personnel decision such as a termination, then you can go to the court and the court will review that. So there, and that's the whole thing, there was a remedy for Mr. Hasanoff, but for whatever reason, he didn't use it. Yes, there's an evaluation process. Yes, it's supposed to be followed. To the extent it wasn't, and it has repercussions for a teacher, mm-hmm. that teacher can go to court and say they didn't follow the process.
Can he still do that? Could he still go to state court now?
It's been 5 years. He could have gone. Instead of filing this federal claim, he could have went to state court.
But he can't go now. You would say he can't go now?
Yeah, I think the statute of limitations would prevent it. But you are, I'm not positive, but I believe the statute probably would.
Can I just want to ask you one other question? He says that you've effectively taken away his license, and I realize that's not technically what you did, but his point is that if you have three ineffectiveness ratings, you shall be dismissed. So that means even if he got hired tomorrow, they would then have to dismiss him once they realized he had these three ineffectiveness. So how is his license of any value right now?
I would respectfully disagree. He could get hired. He could get hired at any school district. Just because you're dismissed, there's nothing in the statute says that another school district can't hire him.
But don't they have to, doesn't the new school district then have to fire him because he has three ineffectiveness?
No, Your Honor.
So there's no look back provision with respect to these ineffective ratings?
Correct. And that, you know, as he says, he applied to schools. No one, nothing in the complaint says, oh, we can't hire you because you've got free and effective evaluation.
So just to make sure I understand how this works, could he actually get a job at the Detroit Public Schools tomorrow, and then he starts all over with no, he doesn't have any strikes at all? The slate is clean.
If he applied at Detroit Public Schools, he could be hired, and then the process would begin. Because you're not losing, again, you're not losing your right to teach. His license is valid. So he could teach. He could, you know, one thing he talks about is, I went to different schools, and I told them, well, you know, I hadn't graduated, but I was on FINLA. So, I mean, there's nothing that would stop that school from saying, okay, well, look, this guy, we need this teacher. He presented very
well. Just so I'm understanding this, it sounds a little strange, but make sure I'm understanding what you're saying the law is. So let's just say he's at a public high school in Detroit. He teaches. He gets three ineffectiveness ratings. They dismiss him. The next day, they hire him back to the same school, and you're telling me he starts all over again with no strikes?
That's the way the law is written, right?
That's crazy.
Well, let me ask this.
In reality, if you dismiss someone for free and effective, you know, you just dismiss them, there will be no reason to hire them back.
What do you mean? This is the same school district that wouldn't fire anybody. Of course they'll hire him back. If they like him, they'll hire him back. Why not? They weren't firing him before. So why would they want to fire him now? They're only going to fire him technically and then hire him back. Quite a law.
It is. I mean, but you know, and that's the law. And that's the thing. That's what our state legislators gave us. We were required to dismiss him. So that's what we did. So, and it goes back to, this is a state issue. Mm-hmm. And it belongs in the state court.
Okay.
And if there are issues with this law, I think that's what the legislature...
Judge Donald has a question.
And I know Judge Guy has one, but you said we were required to fire him, and that's what we did. But you were also required to provide some professional development for him during this period he was going through. And it appears that the Detroit Public Schools did not do that. They assigned him outside of his certification, and according to him, he did not get the professional development, the support, and everything that he needed after any one of the effective evaluations. So what should be done, what remedy does there exist for the school system's failure to provide the required professional development and other means that are set forth?
Well, in Section 1249, if the school district fails to provide the process the way it's written, then there are penalties for the school district that could include loss of funding. Also, as a teacher, he's also a member of the union, and you can read these things. He could have gone to the state and also said they're not following this process.
Is the school system alleging that it did provide the professional development during that period?
As Ms. Driver said, there was some professional development, but there also was a lot of time that Mr. Hasanach was not in school. He unfortunately was off on FINLA at least three times in this period. So that may have been part of the reason.
Okay,
but
thank you.
You have to understand too that if a person is assigned to a job outside their classification, then it's up to that person to advise someone that they're being assigned outside of their classification. They don't have to take that position. You know, so I mean, there is some onus on this teacher as well. If you're not getting what you're supposed to, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times what may be happening in the school, if the administration doesn't know it, they can't correct it. So there is onus on the teacher as well.
Thank you. Judge Guy?
Well, it's the observation I would make in this regard is that the law the state passed is relatively rigid And the law, as the legislature would envision it, applies to a school system that's operating in basically a functional way. And I'm not trying to add to the record, but everybody knows that how hard it is even to get teachers into the Detroit system. They're chronically short of teachers, and that having somebody teach outside their certification is the only way they can meet people in the classroom. And if the attorney for the school district disagrees with that, why speak up right now?
No, unfortunately, that occurs. Sometimes you have a teacher, you put the teacher where you need them. And a lot of times the teachers, you know, they don't have a problem with that. Now, there is a problem when if someone's trying to get tenure. You know, tenure is earned, and it's earned by working in your certified area. So in that regard, a person should be knowledgeable to know, well, this is not going to go towards my tenure. If you're a tenured teacher, it's not such an issue. My time is up.
All right, thank you.
Can I proceed, Your Honor, for
Yes, go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Cynthia Filipovich, appearing on behalf of the defendant, Ellie Stephen Rose. In my limited time, I have three quick points subject to the court's questions. The first point dovetails to the earlier point made by Judge Guy, and it also addresses the first statement made in the appellant's reply brief, and that is, he states that the issue here is whether he has a forum based upon these wrongful, allegedly wrongful evaluations. As Judge Guy mentioned, Mr. Hassan did have a forum, and that is by way of Michigan's Administrative Procedures Act, and that is Michigan Compiled Law 24.306, which is made operative by Michigan Court Rule 7.119. And pursuant to this statutory provision, a Michigan Circuit Court, which is our level of the trial courts, has jurisdiction to review a Michigan 10-year decision. And among the bases of that review is to ensure that the decision was, quote, if it was made upon unlawful procedure resulting in material prejudice to the party. And I would draw the court's attention to the case called Bruhan versus Plymouth Canton Public Schools, 425-278. It's a 1986 decision from the Michigan Supreme Court, in which a laid-off teacher challenged the the laid-off status, claiming she had tenure. And the Michigan Tenure Commission said, you don't have tenure, you didn't complete your probationary period, much like is in the instant case. The teacher availed herself of her right to go to the Michigan Circuit Court, in which case it was Ingham County, which reversed in favor of the teacher. School districts sought leave to the Michigan Court of Appeals, which affirmed, sought leave to the Michigan Supreme Court, which ultimately reversed. I raise this because there is a process where Mr. Hassan could have challenged all of this. And pursuant to MCR 7.119, Mr. Hassan had 60 days from the May 2019 decision of the Michigan Tenure Commission to do that. He didn't. Those 60 days came and went. Instead, in September of 2019, he filed suit in the Eastern District of Michigan. Respectfully, I maintain that per the arguments made by Judge, or by Ms. Burks-Hill, and as pointed out by Judge Guy, Mr. Hassan did have a forum. That forum would be the state courts, and the Michigan state courts are the best courts to handle it. Which leads me to my second point, and that is that if this court were to accept Mr. Cassange's argument, then every teacher similarly situated who was giving these three ineffective ratings and was terminated would then have an automatic due process right or due process claim in federal court. And clearly that is not what the statute requires. It is not what the statute allows. And finally, my third point relates to Judge Rhodes' involvement in this case. Judge Rhodes, as the chief bankruptcy judge in the Eastern District of Michigan, successfully presided over the historic City of Detroit bankruptcy, and he helped to broker that settlement. He retired from the bench in 2015. The following year, in February, he was asked to become the emergency manager of the Detroit Public School District. He graciously assumed that role and held it until December of 2016. His involvement with this case is limited to that role and is limited to signing affirming this termination letter to Mr. Cassange. As Mr. Cassange points out in his brief at footnote 7, Judge Roach is immune from any state law claim, and we would ask that the court affirm any and all claims against Judge Roach. Thank you.
On that latter point, Judge Rhodes' actions were almost in the nature of ministerial. He didn't reevaluate all of the evidence or anything. Somebody has to find the bottom line, and as the emergency head of the system, it fell to him to do that. But correct me if I'm wrong, but he didn't make an independent review of the legitimacy of everything that the plaintiff in this case was claiming.
That's exactly right, Judge Rhodes. Judge Guy. Judge Rhodes' involvement in this case was that of the emergency manager, and as the record reflects, the three periods of evaluation which are at issue, Judge Rhodes had no involvement whatsoever in those evaluations, nor in the ultimate decision. He was serving in a ministerial capacity. He was happy to do so to get the city back on its feet after his brokering of the bankruptcy deal, but it was a very limited role, and he should not be involved in this lawsuit.
All right, thank you. Ms. Driver, I think you have some rebuttal.
I do. First, I'd like to say that Mr. Cassange did object to where he was assigned in both of the 2 years that he got the bad evaluations. He repeatedly got in touch with Human Resources and told them that he needed to be assigned to another school to be able to teach in his subject area. He was denied that right by the district, and in fact, if the district wanted to use him outside of his area of certification, then the district was obligated to put in for a special waiver with the State Department of Education or face paying a $1,500 fine for violating the law, for trying to get around this new evaluation law so that it would be possible to improve the education of the young people of Detroit. He was told by one of the principals that if he was having trouble writing lesson plans, he should just go to Google and see what lesson plans would come up on Google for science or physical education. That defeats the whole purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to make sure that people who were qualified to teach in an area actually taught in that area and could do things, including develop lesson plans. The district says that Mr. Cassange had other options. He could have grieved this. That is not true. This new evaluation law took out any possibility of a member of the union being able to go to that union and grieve the evaluation system. That was taken out. And I would just say on the question of this forum, I think it's clear from Ryan that if there's a due process issue that comes up, then no, a plaintiff is not required just to go to state court. They can go to federal court, and that is really germane in this case, given that given Judge Rhodes' participation in this termination. And then last point on Judge Rhodes himself, the Michigan tenure law states that it is the business of the controlling board, be that the individual executive that's assigned to be running a school district or the school board, to review determinations and make a decision as to whether or not those terminations are just. And Judge Rhodes had that responsibility, and the fact that he didn't take that responsibility seriously because he saw himself as being largely serving a ministerial function, I don't think that comports with what the law is.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks to all three of you for your helpful briefs and arguments. We appreciate it. The case will be submitted, and the clerk may adjourn court. Thank you.
The court is now adjourned.